The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning, all. This is Ryan Tubridy with his Wednesday morning, the 19th of February, 2020. We're here till 10 o'clock. The text number this morning is 51551. The email address is ryan@rte.ie, and the coffee is damn good, I can tell you. It's a dirty old day in Dublin, Ireland today, so if you can stay in, stay in, and if you can't, get out there and do your job. All pupils starting post-primary school in September, because I know a lot of them are off for the midterm. I'm delighted to tell you, lads and lassies, you will have to study history for 3 years. Sorry, but it's the truth. And here's the thing, it's not, if you've got a terrible history teacher, by the way, if you happen to be listening in this morning, you know, either if you're in a position to change class if the school is big enough, and if not, don't lose hope. Keep looking at the, find out, you know, watch movies about the things you're studying. Watch documentaries. They're all there. Before, when I was in school, but we had to wheel in the big television, take out the remote control, clunk. In 1944, Mr. Hitler decided to invade. In 1939, and then watch Jesus of Nazareth with Robert Powell unblinking, or something like Romeo and Juliet or Macbeth by Franco Zeffirelli, in the hope that we might see something that was a little bit tawdry. You get the idea. So the point of it all is, don't be confined by the classroom. This is the benefit of this ridiculous online world we live in today, that you can actually go places that you mightn't be able to in a class or in a book. So don't be put off by a bad teacher. The chances are you'll have a great teacher coming down the tracks. There are very few bad teachers, but the great teachers are waiting for you, and they are waiting to impart that great knowledge to you. So don't be disheartened. And those of you who are already in history world and heading towards junior cert or leaving cert, you're going to be so lucky and so happy, because by the day you finish all your big exams, particularly when you leave school, you will be armed with an interest the likes of which you will never have again, because forever and ever you'll want to know, what's that? Why is that there? Why did that happen? And that curiosity is a passport to beautiful things for the rest of your life. And that's why I'm happy that the history compulsory news at junior cycle level for a new school year is in all the papers today. The Department of Education has issued a directive to schools to take effect from the 2020-21 year. So they got stuck in, fair play to them, arising from Joe McHugh's decision to give history special core status. I won't go on about it other than to say that's a new story today that makes me very happy indeed. You know the way I've been saying, and I say it quite a bit, about this, this idea of we're all complicated novels. Because I firmly believe that we are. As I get older, I realise that everyone has a story to tell. That comes with all the things. It comes with every single triangle in a Trivial Pursuit circle. We've got geography and comedy and history and science and nature, weirdly. But we do. We went on nature walks. We put a leaf under a page with a pencil over it and enjoyed making the shape appear magically. It was a beautiful thing to do. And if you haven't done that with a child under five in the last 10 days, do it today. Make yourself happy. You never know. The memory will be in there. Access for the hard drive when they're 4 to 6 years old presenting a radio show. Every family is chock full of stories. You know this, I know this. Stories of history, stories of memory, stories of accomplishment, and stories of love. So what do we do? We can't all have the Kennedys with 50 million biographies written about us. Or we can't all be Clintons writing autobiographies of our lives. So what do we do? Well, what you can do now is get onto this place. This is an American phenomenon, but the wily Irish businessman or woman listening today will go, great idea, I'm going to do it. And I would do it if I had the smarts for it, but I don't. It's not my skill set, but it is absolutely something somebody should think about doing. So here's what it is. This company has created an affordable new way of immortalizing key memories of your life in a keepsake book. So it's essentially your family biography. Forever Note, that's the company, gives you your own biographer. So what you do is you sign up yourself or a loved one for the service, and whether you're looking to share a few short snippets of advice or a full detailed account of someone's life, a trained biographer will help you shape your narrative. That's where the danger lies. There be dragons, by the way. Whose narrative is it anyway? I mean, if it's a family history, who writes it? And I tell you what, the older you get, that archive gets a little shakier, a little dustier, and a little less certain. But anyway, we'll march on to get to the end of this story. They get you ready for a one-on-one interview. So you sit down with this biographer, they interview you, and they ask you the right questions about the subjects through key life moments to help capture all the memorable details from your stories. After the interview, that biographer heads off with the team, or maybe on their own, transcribes the audio into the text, which you can personally edit yourself, or you can enlist professional editing services. You can even add photos as the design team crafts your custom keepsake hardbook cover. You get a PDF of your finished book for review, an audio recording of your interview, and within a few weeks, your hardcover book, maybe 30 to 40 pages, because that's all it's worth in most of our lives anyway, will arrive. It'll cost you generally $200. But there's a 25% thing off now, so you can get it for $150. I think it's a really interesting idea. It could cause chaos in families when somebody reads your one and goes, wait a second, I didn't say that. Hang on a minute. But if it's done in a benign, friendly, warm way, I love that as an idea. Love that as an idea. As I do this idea. The Baba. Okay, you've got the baby in your hands and the tried and tested way of knowing where whether the baby has just been to the toilet in the nappy is to feel a moist sensation generally on your crook of your arm or the lift, where suddenly the child's double its weight by virtue of the nappy that's hanging off it. You remember that? Like a mad jockstrap. It's just hanging down with the weight of all that urine and whatever else might be in there. But this the wet nappy situation has changed dramatically thanks to science. And instead of having to lift, touch, weigh, feel the sensation of your jacket or shirt being moistened by the sensation of the nappy, they've done something very interesting in the MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Researchers have developed a smart nappy embedded with a moisture sensor that can alert a caregiver, when a nappy is wet. So when the sensor detects dampness in the nappy, it sends a signal to a nearby phone or laptop or whatever and says, bing, wet nappy time. And in you go, change the nappy, problem solved. Isn't that great? And even better, on a much more medical sense of the word, over time, smart nappies may help record and identify certain health problems, such as signs of constipation or incontinence. And the new sensor may be especially useful for nurses working in neonatal units and caring for multiple babies at a time. That's good. That's smart science. That's what we need in the world. Not mean science. Poor old Billie Eilish was talking about mean science last night. This is the internet being mean to her. We heard about Caroline Flack earlier on in the week, that horrible story. And the Brits were on last night. And do you remember I told you all to listen to Celeste when I played her yesterday, because she was in the running for an award. And sure enough, what did she do last night? She won the Rising Star Brit Award. So I'm going to take all the credit for Siobhan's knowledge and pretend it's mine. I told you, / the team told you. But there you go. Yeah, Celeste won the award. So you can tell all your friends today, especially the youngsters. Stormzy won Best British Male. Mabel won British Female. Also, as you'll know, nobody has a second name anymore. Foles won British Group. Celeste won Rising Star. Dave won Best Album. Good man, Dave. Fair play. Nice one, Dave. And International Male was Tyler, the Creator. International Female, Billie Eilish. But our friend from The Late Late Show, who charmed us all and has charmed Ireland, broadly speaking, is Lewis Capaldi. And good on him. He won Best New Artist, even though I feel I've been talking about him for about 10 years, but Lewis is Best New Artist and Best Song with Someone You Loved. So I'm happy about him. But it's Billie Eilish I want to talk about for a moment, because she got up to collect her award. And she's only 18 years old. She got Best International Female Solo Artist. And she got something else, I think, along the way. But she got up to get the award and she said the following. I've got a little clip of it here.
I also want to just say something that I was thinking like 2 seconds ago, which was I've felt very hated recently, and when I was on the stage and I saw you guys all smiling at me, it genuinely made me want to cry, and I want to cry right now.
She's 18 years old and she's feeling all the hate, because even though she has swept the 2020 Grammys, most trophies of the night, she won Record of the Year, Album of the Year. She has been unfailingly successful and she has been unfailingly popular. And yet she goes on stage and says, I've just been feeling all this hate. It comes back to what we were talking with Brian Dowling on Monday and by Caroline Flack over the weekend. The hate. And if nothing else, our takeaway, to use that awful expression, this week has to be, particularly if there are younger people listening, don't be hating. Don't be hateful. You know, I mean, we can't be pontificating or preaching, but we can urge and encourage and exhort you to just be that little bit. When you're looking at that fork in the road, you can go down mean or kind. You decide what's going to make you feel better, ultimately. I'm telling you it's kind. That's the way to go. But the success has taken its toll on poor old Billie Eilish. She said this week she had to stop reading Instagram comments. Wise woman. For the sake of her mental health, and that the online hate is getting to be too much. Let us not be sitting here reading a more awful headline about that young woman. You know what I'm saying. And it's up to us to be nicer to each other in some ways. This business of the Scouts in bankruptcy in the United States to move to the I'll just give you a quick. The Boy Scouts of America filed for bankruptcy protection yesterday in the hope of working out a potentially massive sex abuse compensation plan. I'm not going to get into all of the abuse story because clearly it's there and you can read about it if you wish broadly online, and you might have listened back to Morning Ireland where they dealt with it this morning. There's just a part of me that feels a bit of sympathy for those who are the good people. The good people who took an awful lot of time out of their lives to volunteer down through the years as scouts, young scouts, scout leaders, who went to camps, who went up the mountains, who gave up their weekends, who just all only had one thing in their hearts, which was goodness. And they just got these headlines and stories, and maybe the scouts might actually stop altogether in the United States. That's what they're saying at the moment. I know there are stories here too, but I hope that they are, first of all, dealt with, and that the bad people are, and when I say dealt with, I really mean dealt with properly. I have strong feelings in this. I wish I could share with you, but that's for another day. However, I also feel that those who have been amazing and kind and not a bad bone in their body need to be celebrated and in many ways thanked, because they're the good ones. They're the ones who were teaching kids how to tie a knot, catch a fish, put up a tent, the good things, the reasons that it was meant to be there. And I just wanted to give them a nod today, because it's not easy watching that sort of collapse of something you felt was important to you, and was indeed important to a lot of good people. Here's a happy story. Dagmar Turner. Who the hell is Dagmar Turner? I'm going to tell you now. Wait. She had this tumour on her right frontal lobe, and she was a patient at King's College Hospital in London. And the medical team turned around and said, look, to ensure parts of your brain which control delicate hand movements and coordination are not damaged during your millimetre precise surgery, what we're going to do is we're going to cut your head open, we're going to reach in, we're going to endeavour to take this tumour out, but as we're doing this, we're going to hand you your violin and we want you to play. All at the same time. And she did. I mean, she's a former management consultant from the Isle of Wight, diagnosed in 2013 with a brain tumour after suffering a seizure during a symphony. And she's a violinist, as you can imagine, plays in the Isle of Wight Symphony Orchestra. I was worried the surgery would mean she would lose the ability to play. The tumour was located in the right frontal lobe of the brain, close to an area that controls the fine movement of her left hand. And she said, the violin is my passion. I've been playing since I was 10. The thought of losing it was heartbreaking. So 3 days after the procedure, she was well enough to go home to her husband and to her son. And the hospital in South London were delighted about this. And it's just an extraordinary story. I would urge you to look it up and find out more, because that sense of science, technology, and yet the arts, lovely combination of all the great things in life right there in that story, which is covered in a lot of the papers today. And there's a video online if you want to check that out too. I suppose just check out tumour violin, and that'll get you there. It's an unusual Google search, but it's all good. Ryan, is this April Fool's Day? Let me just check again. February 19th. No, smart nappies. Sure, says Lisa. It's easy to tell when a nappy needs changing. Big damp patch or worse on your hip. These days, times they are changing, Lisa. Deirdre and Dunnycarney. Cloth nappies, Ryan. It's the only way. They're amazing. No jock strap nanny effect, nappy effect. Nappy rash is a thing of the past, and it's better for the environment. Well, I'm quite certain my mother would have had the cloth nappies out on the line and down through the years in the back garden. And I presume there's an eco trend to bring that back, which would definitely make sense. We need, says a text, to dispel some of the hate. It feels overwhelming at the moment in the world. We have to connect to each other as humans kindly again, reconnect and stay kind. You're so right. Wise in that text, and I'm so glad you sent it in. Thank you. Anne says, can we have less graphic nappy detail, please? No, that's the news. I'm here to tell you the unvarnished truth about nappy sensors. You've just spoiled my enjoyment of a lovely, perfectly ripe mango. Yeah. Well, sorry about that, / not remotely sorry. That's the news. Sometimes the news will interrupt a mango munching moment in the morning. And meanwhile, just hearing you talk about history, my history buff 16-year-old daughter picked history as one of her options for fifth year. We are loving the RT1 Women in History programme. It's just brilliant, isn't it? I think they're calling it Herstory. And it's a great development. And they're doing great things in RT and RT.ie to try and enliven the history passion project, if you want to call it that. And I'm loving it. And so do check all of that out, by the way. That's online. Teachers, take note if you're off. Get busy on that, because you will be able to show them in class next week, and I think it'll open their eyes. So please head to rt.ie, find Herstory, and you'll find more besides. Tom in Galway. Morning, Tom. We're all human, and all we need is to feel loved. It is so easy to be kind. It is so hard to be nasty and to ignore others. And if we can, even if there's a sense of critical mass, like a movement, wouldn't that be better? Better place. But inch by inch, row by row, isn't that what they say? It's 21 minutes past nine. We are well and truly open for business. Yeah. Why did I play It's a Sin by Pet Shop Boys? It was a clue on Only Connect the other night, and I thought, oh, that's a great song. I hadn't played it for a little while, and it was The Wall. If you know this program, it's a quiz, and they put up a wall full of words, and you have to connect them into four. What are the four in a row? What they got in common, and there were four Pet Shop Boys songs, but they put in confusing words and so on. So that was, I think that was one of them. If not, doesn't matter. It just got me in mind of Pet Shop Boys. Edward in Cork has been on. As a former scout leader, thank you so much. Positive comments such as yours were notably absent a year ago when the focus turned on abuse in scouting in Ireland, as it should have. But all abusers need to see the full force of the law. Correct. But let's not lose the positivity that scouting brings. And that's what I was trying to give doff the cap to the good people in the scouting world. Elizabeth says, the thought of that ping sound coming from the nappy, ting-a-ling from the microwave, the happy song from the mobile, the howl from the two-year-old. No, the nappy is only a little damp. It'll do. I think that's the way I would have felt when I had six lovely children running around our house. Well, you know what? I think it'll be a lovely democratic nappy that you can choose to ping or not to ping. That is the question. And Enda says, have you seen the Taylor Swift documentary? She very eloquently and intelligently breaks down the process of encroaching hatred on Twitter, especially when she outlines just how many people need to tweet to break the record for a hatred marathon, as happened in her case. Worth a watch. Thank you, Enda. I will take you up on that. I spoke to a lovely woman yesterday at the end of the show called Katrin. And she was formerly an archaeologist. She did a lovely way about her. And she had to retire due to Parkinson, but she went to her attic and collected all the letters. She had countless letters. And she chose to send them back to the people from whom she'd received them. And they were pen pals from all around the world, family, friends, etc. Eileen was on to us as a result of that to say, returning letters to the writer or the sender is a great idea. When my husband and I moved to England with our 10-month-old daughter, I wrote to my parents every week talking about our new place and describing small Elizabeth to them. Years later, my mother gave them back to me, and it was like reliving that period all over again. All the small, mundane details of home life, funny, clever little things that the child was doing and chronicling my husband's career. Very special to us and to our children, although, of course, by the time the third came along, the letter writing tapered off. But that's the lot of the younger child. Absolutely correct. And we have another one, which I'll get to in a few minutes' time, about that very subject too. But it just seemed to have touched a chord with people. A lot of people seem to have gone digging for their own letters and cards of the past to see what stories they told. At 28 minutes past nine.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
Well, Ryan, says Padraig in Leitrim. Would have thought that was a Waterford text initially, but not. On watching history documentaries, recently watched World War II in colour. And I didn't cover this period in any detail in school in the 80s. I found it so informative, though, and real and disturbing. By the way, he adds as an addendum, it's so wet down here, if the countryside was tilted, we'd float all the way. We'd all float away. I hear you. It's that kind of week, isn't it? And Terry was on to say, as a proud mother, I was so delighted to hear you mention the good guys in Scouts. I grew up with four brothers, all in the Scouts, and they had such a great time. My son, when it was his time, joined Cubs and then Scouts. He didn't like the Scouts initially, but I encouraged him to stay for a little while longer, and he did, and he loved it, and he went on to become a Scout leader, and he is still involved. And it's sad that the good guys and gals are very seldom mentioned, so I really appreciate what you said this morning from a very proud mother. That's it. It's just the bad ones, as we keep saying, need to be rooted out and dealt with, and the good ones need to be elevated, praised and thanked. And that's the way it is. Listening to those boys talking about rugby, the lads have washed my car, done a great job as well, so keep up the good work. Yeah, I love that. I love the chat with the two fellas, and we'll be following them with their World Cup with great interest. It's 13 minutes to 10 o'clock. That's it for today. Stay tuned for Sean O'Rourke. Mind yourselves. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.